the fifth aspect of the fruit. And so it's one fruit. Remember Galatians 5:22 and 5:23, the fruit of or from the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so these are being contrasted to the works from the flesh previously in Galatians 5. And as we've noted, it's one fruit with nine aspects. And so we've covered the first four aspects of the fruit. And today we move on to our fifth aspect from the fruit, which is kindness. Now that your King James will read gentleness, but it is, and so it does have a flavor of gentleness. We'll talk about that. But I just like to, for consistency reasons, just translate it kindness. I think the New King James makes that adjustment.
It does.
And so that's good. And so kindness, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. And so I kind of borrowed from William Barclay's quote regarding peace. And it's true of all of the aspects of the fruit or from the fruit itself, but so that includes all of the aspect, though, is that the fruit is not something a man achieves, but something a man accepts. And so we're dependent not upon ourselves to realize the fruit from the Spirit. We're dependent upon the filling from the Holy Spirit. And we know from Scripture that in order for us to cooperate with being filled by this Spirit, well, we need to be confessing our sins as they happen, but we need to also be setting our reflective thinking, setting our frame of mind on things above related to our position in Christ. And so it's always interesting when you hear people say something that indicates they don't understand the importance of their position in Christ. Because you can't really put yourself mentally in a position consistently to be filled without having some knowledge of your position in Christ, what that entails, how God sees us in Christ, and to be able to set our frame of mind, our framework, around those things. And so when we're talking about the fruit from the Spirit and this and Spirit filling, and we've mentioned this, that all of the aspects of the fruit from the Spirit are realized in the realm of the human spirit. And so remember, that's where initial salvation occurs, in the realm of the human spirit. The soul itself is not yet in a state of being saved. It's the last thing to be saved. And obviously the body is not yet in its state of being saved. And so it's in the realm of the human spirit. And so the tendency is for some, when they come through here and they read about the fruit from the Spirit, to attach these qualities to man's equivalent, which are going to be emotional. But these are qualities of Christ. These can affect the emotions, but these are realized in the realm of the human spirit. And so they're mental. They're mental terms. We're not talking about emotional terms. And so we like to continue to draw those distinctions. And so as we come to our fifth aspect today, we're going to talk about kindness. And so let me just quickly define kindness. Kindness is a sweetness or mildness of temperament that causes another person to be at ease. And so it's a temperament that seeks to avoid causing pain or offense of another. And so it's kind of a benevolent attitude, a desire to do what is useful or to be kind. We've heard the phrase acts of kindness. Well, kindness, this mildness or sweetness of temperament that desires to put others at ease, there's also a desire to be useful, to be kind. And so you can see that this couples nicely with agape love. And so we'll talk about that. But before I get too far along here, we should pray. So let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank thee for this day. We thank you for your word and the opportunities that we've had to be under it. We're thankful for those messages that have been delivered thus far. And we thank you for opportunities to be with one another and to be relating to your truth. And we would just pray your spirit now would guide and direct and illumine our minds to these truths. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so kindness, this idea of a sweetness of temperament, a mildness of temperament, and wants to put others at ease. I want to just illustrate from the Gospels a couple places where we see this, the adjective used, and when we see the adjective used, we see it used in contrast to something, which will give you a little bit of an idea of the meaning of this word. And so let me just go back into Matthew 11:30. And for time, I'm not going to develop the context. I just want to focus on the word here and how it's being used and contrasted. And so in Matthew 11:30, here, the Lord says, for my yoke is, and the King James says, easy. This is the adjective of our word here for kindness. This is just my yoke is kind. And so that's Matthew 11:30. He's saying my yoke is kind. It's not harsh, in other words. It's not harsh. It's not burdensome. It's kind. And so here you see the adjective translated easy. And he says, and my burden is light. And so light. And so when the Lord says that, he's saying my yoke is, it's not harsh. It's kind. And so we get an idea there. Let's go over and look at maybe another illustration. Or another place we can make an illustration. Let's go over to Luke chapter 5. And we want verse 39. Now I'm just going to pick it right up here. It says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new. And so new, naos here, new in time. And so then you have the explanation, for he says the old is better. And so here you have a comparative. It's being translated better, but it's a comparative of our root for kind. It's kinder. And so what he's saying, mildness or sweetness of temperament that desires or causes another person to be at ease. And so that's kindness. That's our word, kindness. And so it's interesting because this is the fifth aspect of the fruit, of the singular fruit of nine. So we're on 5 of 9 right now. And last week we looked at long suffering is the fourth aspect of the fruit. Long suffering and kindness are both aspects of agape love. Now, isn't that interesting? So you would think if we already have agape love, why do we need kindness and long suffering? Well, let me first, let's go over to 1 Corinthians and take a look at chapter 13. And again, I'm just going to grab verse 4 here because we've already covered agape love. But in verse 4, King James reads charity. It should be love, agape love. So agape love suffers long and is kind. And so here we see characteristics or qualities of agape love is it suffers long. It's long suffering and it's kind. It's not sharp. It's not bitter. It's not harsh. So it's interesting when you think about that, those are qualities of agape love, yet we have both long suffering and kindness as an aspect of the fruit. Why does God do that? Why does he do that? Well, I'm going to just give you my thoughts on that. Is as Christians, God is doing something. We're part of his creation in Christ. And as we allow ourselves to be matured and grown, he's changing us from the inside out, from the inside to the out. And we are becoming, on the inside, we're becoming better reflective surfaces of Christ so that Christ can be shown out, right? Now, each of us are individuals, and so we're going to have different personalities in which to express Christ. But those qualities are going to be consistent from person to person. One of the ways I think that we can distort agape love is through a lack of long-suffering and a lack of kindness. And so God has given us extra access to those because we're going to distort what should be reflected out. When we start out as young Christians, we're not very good reflective surfaces, right? We're not going to reflect out Christ very accurately. We've all seen reflections, those funny mirrors that distort things. I have a glass, half of it's glass and the other of it's screen. It's a screen door on my backyard, my back door. And every time I walk into the house, I see my reflection in the glass. And I believe it's distorting things. Because when I see myself in that reflection, well, let's just say this. It's easy for me to refuse dessert on those occasions. Because it's not a very flattering reflection. It distorts things. But as we mature, God is changing us. He's making us a better reflective surface. So we start off like an old piece of cast iron with rough edges that can't reflect anything. See, like how I did that, Caleb? I got my cast iron reference in there. The boys are laughing at me because I got some cast iron and I'm trying to polish up the surface to make it like they used to make it, high quality. And as you polish it, it becomes a better and better reflective surface. Well, that's what God's doing to us as we allow ourselves to be matured by him. He's making us a better reflective surface so what's being reflected out can more accurately represent, in this case, it would be Christ that's being reflected out. And I think as Christians, we need long-suffering and kindness because we could focus on agape love, and if there's not long suffering and kindness with it, it's not reflecting the original source really well. And so that's, anyway, that's how I'm choosing to describe why we have long suffering and kindness as facets of agape love, but then we see them also here as separate aspects of the fruit, which is quite interesting. And so, so when we consider kindness, you know, it's hard sometimes when you come through here to not think about man's understanding of these terms. Because I'm sure you guys all know some unsaved people that you might say that are kind. But are they truly kind? Now remember, the fruit from the Spirit, this is supernatural. These things couldn't be experienced until the cross work occurred, the Holy Spirit came, and then as Christians living present tense salvation, we have to be filled by the Spirit. We have to be spiritual Christians, and then we can realize these in the realm of the human spirit. And so these are not things that the unsaved are going to be able to relate to. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 3, I want 3:12. Let me back up to 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Unprofitable, worthless. There is none that doeth kindness. King James reads good, but this is our word for kindness. Same noun. There's none that is doing. Now, the word here that's translated doeth in the King James, it's just the verb koyeo. It's just a present active participle. The idea is that there is none that's continuously doing kindness. No, not one. Can't be habitually done. Man's quality of kindness is probably going to be a lot based upon circumstances. Remember, the fruit from the Spirit, these can all be realized independent upon any circumstances. And so here, though, you see with the unsaved, there's none that are doing kindness, not one. Let me just back up. We can see that it's the kindness of God that leads to a change of mind. That's in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's just pick up in verse 1 and we'll see this. Now it's going to be translated goodness by the King James, but it's our same word. It's kindness in 2:4. So in Romans 2:1 though, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same thing. And so we've got a number of the doest that are, is actually the word for practice in here. But we are sure, do we factually know what Paul says here? It says that the judgment of God is measured by truth. Against them which are practicing such things. And thinkest thou this, you're reckoning thou this, O man, that judges them which are practicing such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long suffering? Not knowing, and so this word for knowing here in verse 4 is not experientially knowing, that the kindness of God leads thee to repentance, to a change of mind. So there's a lot of things we could preach on. We could use fear, and we could probably cause a lot of regret if we had unbelievers in here. We could preach a lot of things to induce fear, and we might actually induce some sorrow and some regret. But it's actually the kindness of God that leads to a change of mind, to a repentance. And so that's interesting. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11. Interesting chapter because it's dealing with Gentiles and Israel. And what Paul is going to explain here is that Gentiles are now, in this dispensation, are currently in a place of blessing on earth in God's plan. And so that basically sums it up. And so Gentiles are in the place of blessing on earth in God's plan. But that's only temporary. Now, there's some things in here also. I'll just make this comment in passing, that you would use to demonstrate that this dispensation ends in failure. And so we know that to be the case of dispensations. And remember, dispensations are periods in time where God is demonstrating something about man. And so let me just pick this up. I'm going to back up to verse 20. It says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. And so the you here, he's talking about the Gentiles, and the they, he's talking about Israel. Let me just back up to verse 13. He says, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, he says, I glorify my service. King James says, I magnify my office. And so here he says, they were broken off because of unbelief, and you standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. He says, for if, in a first-class condition, we could translate this since, God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And he goes, behold, therefore, the kindness. Now, the King James translated goodness, but it's actually our word for kindness. Behold, therefore, the kindness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, talking about Israel. Now, this word for severity, he's talking about Israel as an example of the severity of God, the harshness, the abruptness. This word that's translated severity, it has literally the idea to cut off or shear. And so he's talking about here the abruptness of God. And but towards thee, kindness. He's talking about to Gentiles being in the place of blessing upon earth in God's plan. And he says, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. So you're gonna, it's not talking about losing salvation here. He's talking about Gentiles losing their place of privilege on earth in God's blessing. And so don't get too worried about this verse, because we're going to go to a place, it's interesting. Remember, God is demonstrating, he is showing his grace by the church. And so even when we fail, when I say we, I'm talking about believers fail in this dispensation, and God takes us off this earth, Israel will be grafted back in the place of blessing upon this earth, but we'll forever be with the Lord. Now, I want you to keep that statement in mind and keep in our mind our, what we're talking about it with kindness. And it says, so let's see, where am I at? I'm just going to continue on in verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For since you were cut off, cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, just a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall there these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And so it's going to be real easy when God is going to graft back Israel into its place of blessing upon the earth. And it says, for I desire not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness or hardness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. And so just to grab a little bit of the context though. And so anyway, in verse 22, you have Israel and the church being used as an examples. One, Israel being used as an example of the abruptness of God. And then the church as being an example of the kindness of God. And so, quite interesting when you think about that. Now, the next two verses, we considered both of them last week when we were looking at long suffering. And so we were going to go to them again because we were focusing on long suffering, but I do want you to see kindness in here. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians, Paul demonstrated that he was a servant of God, and we mentioned that one of the ways was by long suffering. So you see that in 2 Corinthians 6:6. But he also mentions that it was by kindness. And so remember, these are supernatural abilities that really enable a believer or allow a believer to reflect Christ. And so I need to turn to 2 Corinthians. And so let me go ahead and just back up to verse 1. And then, as co-workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And I want to take a quick look. Vain, to no purpose, without content, is our word for vain. It's a pathenos root. For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So you see Paul's attitude, his approach. He says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. In other words, Paul's pretty much got all of the situations and circumstances covered. His behavior was going to be above and beyond reproach, but not because of who Paul is, but because of the grace from God. Remember Paul, if you want to see what Paul was capable of, the best of Paul, Go into Philippians 3 and you'll see what Paul, let me just go ahead, I wasn't going to do this, this just came to mind. Paul's talking about being supernaturally enabled in all of these situations and circumstances. This, Paul's not talking about, he demonstrated this in his own strength. Paul's life was a witness of God's supernatural enabling, is what he's saying there in 2 Corinthians. When you talk about Paul and his own strength, you have this list in Philippians 3. I could back up to verse 3, but let me just read verse 8. It'll summarize. It says, "Yes, doubtless, I count all things lost for or except the excellency of the experiential knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may gain Christ." And so, everything that Paul has by grace makes everything that Paul had by birth and through self-effort in his the Judaism seem as refuse, garbage in comparison. And so he's not interested in having his own righteousness that came through a quality of law. He's had that. He wants to be found in him having a righteousness which is out from God as the source. And so that's obviously talking about the righteousness he has in Christ. Anyway, so let's come back to our 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And so, in the King James changes from the in preposition from in, listing these circumstances in verse 5. And now they change it to, from locative to instrumental. And so we have by. And so by pureness, by experiential knowledge, by long suffering. And so that's what we looked at last week. This is how Paul, was able to test for approval that he was a true servant of God. It says by pureness, by experiential knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. By kindness. And so this isn't man's quality of kindness. This is supernatural ability that comes from God. And Paul was a witness to that, and his life was a witness of that. That's a witness we all want our lives to be. Wouldn't that be nice if that can be the witness of our life here, is that our life here was a witness to God's supernatural enabling? That's what our aim should be as Christians. And so Paul says, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by agape love, unhypocritical, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, through glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, just being grieved, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's quite a pithy statement. That was what Paul was capable of with supernatural enabling. That wasn't what Paul was capable of in and of his own strength. But kindness was one of the things you saw, and long suffering as well there. The other place that we considered last week where we had long suffering and where we're going to go again this week in considering kindness is in Colossians chapter 3. And so in 3:12, we see this phrase, put on therefore. Put on, and duo is the Greek verb, and it just means to put on as an outer garment. It's just literally, and it's in the middle voice, so to put on for yourself. Now, let me take you back to Galatians 3:27. And so I had to have at least one other reference in Galatians since this is supposed to be a series in Galatians. And so, but in Galatians 3:27, if you can remember that far back to when we actually covered 3:27, we find out something that was accounted to us at initial salvation. And so in verse 26, it says, for ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so I changed the by to through faith, and changed children to sons based upon the Greek. Your sons, talking about your position in Christ. You're a mature son through faith in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 27, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on, this is our same word, you have put on Christ. Now, he's talking about our position in Christ, and he's talking about in God the Father's accounting. And so it's interesting because he says it in a middle voice. He says, you have put on for yourself Christ. And so that would be before the Father. The moment we were baptized or immersed into Christ, we're placed as sons, and we have put on for ourselves Christ in the Father's reckoning. Man, that truth is just hard to even comprehend. The things that surround that truth. But you've put on for yourself Christ. Now, in present tense salvation, we talk about putting on Christ. And when we talk about that in putting on our position, putting your position into practice, we're talking about seeing ourselves, reckoning ourselves as the Father reckons us. This is one of the first steps to living resurrection life, living above the sin nature. We still have that sin nature, but we don't have to be a slave to it. We can live free from serving it, and that relates to our position in Christ. I won't go to Romans 6, but I'll just go to Romans chapter 13, and we'll just look at the last verse in the chapter, verse 14. And you have this verb used here again. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So put him on as an outer garment. He's talking about mentally putting on your position, putting yourself in your position in Christ, seeing yourself as God the Father sees you, setting your frame of mind on things above related to your position in Christ. He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision or forethought for the flesh to fulfill or to do its lusts, its strong desires. Now, we want to take that further. We would kick this right on back to Romans 6:11. But I just wanted to make that little connection. We didn't do this last week, and I figured, well, I'll be able to do this week when we're considering Colossians 3. So now when we come back to Colossians 3, let's look at Colossians 3:9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its deeds, with its practices, is the idea. And so you've put off. The idea is to just literally to strip off. Seeing you've stripped off for yourself the old man with its practices, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in a full experiential knowledge after the image of him that created him. In him, and I won't go after that, but there's a word division issue there. We just translate this in him, talking about in your position in Christ, is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, I'm going to grab the therefore and move it up front. Therefore, put on. And so here we have our put on as elect of God. And so as ones chosen of God, set apart ones, and be loved, ones in a state of being loved. So you're going to put on, you have to have these things, and now you can put them on. Bowels of compassion. And so bowels of compassion, deep concern. Kindness. So here's our word you're going to put on, kindness. It's going to be something that is a witness of the reality that's going on inside. And so this sweetness or mildness of temper that desires another person to be at ease. And so it's a desire to do what is useful, to be kind. And then we have humbleness of mind. And then we have two other aspects of the fruit, meekness and long suffering. And so then we see some exhortations related to relationships among believers. Forbearing one another, just bearing with one another. And forgiving yourselves. These reflexive pronouns are interesting in here, and forgiving yourselves. We'll see this in Ephesians, because you have this in Colossians and Ephesians, this reflexive pronoun. It's kind of like out of place, but in the Greek, it's right there. You translate it, and rather than forgiving, what is the King James, forgiving one another, it's not one another. It's forgiving yourselves. It's interesting. It almost seems that until we see ourselves as God sees us, till we forgive ourselves, we're going to have a hard time reflecting Christ when we're not willing to attribute his work to ourselves and see ourselves how God sees us. How are we going to reflect Christ? And so it's interesting. Anyway, I just comment on that in passing. I might point it out when we're in Ephesians here in a minute. But forgiving yourselves, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of these things, and the King James supplies the ellipsis again, put on. Put on agape love, which is the bond of maturity. And so the bond of maturity, the bond that I kind of think of it, it's really the bond that produces maturity. And so above all, put on agape love. Now, I did mention, this dispensation ends in failure. And when I think about, how does the church fail? This is the dispensation of the grace of God. And so this is the dispensation where we have members of the body of Christ on earth, and we have members of the body of Christ in heaven. And at some point, we're all going to be together at a meeting in the air, and there'll be no more members of the body on earth. And when we go back and we read something about Ephesians, so Gentiles are going to lose their place of blessing on earth in God's plan, in a sense, that Israel is going to be grafted back in. But what about, what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for the body of Christ? Well, I want you to read, I want you to turn back to Ephesians 2. Now 2:7 is the verse I want. But I'm going to go ahead and back up for a little bit of context. And so let me go ahead and back all the way up to verse 3. And so among whom, talking about among the sons of disobedience. Also, we had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he's made us, he's quickened us together, he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And he's raised us up together, and he's made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 7, you have a hina clause, and I like to almost translate this in order that. In order that in the ages to come. Now, first of all, let's think of a couple things. Ages, plural. In ages to come, plural. Now, ages are periods of time where God is revealing something about himself to created beings. So think about that. So in ages to come, talking about these periods of times, separate ages, periods of times where God's revealing something about himself, that in ages to come, he might show. And the word for show here is the idea of to demonstrate, to display, so that he might show or demonstrate or display the exceeding riches of his grace by his kindness towards us. So I'm going to translate this instrumental. It's by his kindness that he's demonstrating the exceeding riches of his grace in ages to come, by his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, related right back to our position in Christ, but in the ages to come. And so we become a display, if you will, of the exceeding riches, the surpassing, the immeasurable riches of his grace by his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And so this is an amazing thing when you think about that, in the ages to come. And so this is the same quality of kindness. I guess that's what I want to say, is this is the same kind of quality of kindness that we can realize in the realm of our human spirit and can direct after being spirit-filled. It's a similar quality. And so that's an amazing thing when you think about that. Now, I'm going to end here, and I like this because I can see it's almost 2:30, and I know that's the time I'm shooting for. I don't have to remember when I started. But let's end today, and I want to go to Ephesians 4. And so, in verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another. Now, this is actually the adjective. This is the idea is be ones that are kind. And so the idea is we have to be spirit-filled, but be ones that are kind one to another of the same kind to other Christians. Tender-hearted. It's interesting, forgiving yourselves. We got that reflexive pronoun. I know the King James says forgiving one another, but it's forgiving yourselves. It's almost, there's something here that we have to be able to forgive ourselves to be able to reflect out this kind of kindness. Even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And so even as God, I retranslated it a little bit. So forgiving yourselves, yourselves is rather than one another, it's reflecting a reflexive pronoun in the Greek. And then he says, even as, the idea of just as, God, and it's in Christ, not for Christ, has forgiven you. Forgiven you. And so anyway, just be ones that are kind one to another. And, you know, remember, his yoke isn't harsh. It's not, it's kind. His yoke is kind. And he provides us everything we need in order to do these things. And it becomes really more of a privilege and an honor to live within the provisions of grace than it is an order. It's an honor, not an order. It's a privilege, not a burden. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us and the opportunities that we've had to be in the Word and with one another. And we're thankful for the potential to be filled by the Spirit and to experience the different aspects of the fruit as we're Spirit-filled. And so may we be those that continuously avail ourselves of the provisions of grace, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.